can you remember the moment that it occurred to you that you wanted or needed or should write a book? And what were you hoping to capture in this book?
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand what it's like to have one of these mood disorders. They don't understand why people behave in certain ways like this. We didn't for a long time. And so I read a lot. I remembered many of the things that my son had told me over the years and was just kind of putting this together. And I thought, well, I just want to try to tell this story and kind of bring people into the experience as we lived it so that they can understand and hopefully take this to heart and realize that young people do face these kinds of situations and they need help. They need help to get professional care and treatment. And I think it's healthier if we all know more about it rather than leaving people in isolation, because I think when people are in isolation and feel that they're struggling with this alone, they do tend to resort to methods that lead to more trouble rather than help them manage the illness, help them have a more regular social life rather than choose, you know, companions who are also struggling and also getting into trouble.
You're writing about yourself, your son, your personal life, but mm-hmm. were you aware in your mind that it also needed to be a good book?
Definitely. I'm a reader. I like memoirs in particular. I mean, I've been very influenced by books that I have read. Dr. Kay Redfield Jameson's book, An Unquiet Mind. Now, she's a psychiatrist. Perhaps you've read that. It's an excellent, excellent book. Books like that, or Beautiful Boy by David Sheff, for example, where he talks a lot about his family's life and his son's addiction to methamphetamine and, you know, just the turmoil that threw them into. I think these books, you know, they cover painful episodes, but they also explain so much. And they help people understand why people behave the way they do, and they draw us in. And so I thought, well, I'm just following in this tradition. I'm trying to open up a discussion here and hopefully help change some attitudes toward people who have these issues of self-medication and behaviors, you know, indulgent behaviors that can be dangerous or risky. And then try to see, you know, what are the underlying motivations here, and then how can these be addressed, you know?
Did writing the book help you?
Yes, it did. It very much did. As I said, parts of it were very hard to write, but I thought it was liberating at the end. I just felt this lightness, you know. I don't know if it was the burden of setting myself the task of writing the book, or whether it was just feeling like the heaviness of bearing all this alone was just suddenly being lifted, you know, not suddenly, but gradually as I went through it. It was like, I did feel lighter and lighter as I was approaching the end of the book. It was kind of like, oh, you know, this is going to be out there. But I did think about, well, you know, I hope readers will be able to identify with these characters and understand them better, because so often you just read these cases in the newspaper and then you just get, you know, here's what happened and here's where the person went, and, you know, you feel at ease because you think, well, the wrongdoer is being punished. But, you know, there's so much more to it. There's always a much more complex human story behind these things. And I think it helps a lot to know what that story is.
The book has just been released, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I suppose no one has come to you yet and said, oh, I've read the book and it really helped me because I went through something personally, right? Because not enough people have gotten to read it yet. But can you imagine a time when someone does contact you and tells you that you've made a difference in my life, you helped me to heal? Is that going to be really fulfilling for
you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. I did read one review where the person did say that the story moved her and that she was going to share the story with two other people that she knew were struggling with a similar kind of thing in their family. And I think that, I know it helped me reading these other books I told you about to know that other people were living the same kind of life. And it helps to feel seen and to feel heard. You feel less alone and you feel like there's more hope.
How is your son today?
He is, he's in recovery still. And when you're in recovery, you are, it's a continuous thing. It's a continuum. He has learned a lot from his experiences. I think he's reevaluating choices that he makes. He's living in a city now. He's living an independent life. And I think as a mom, I've sort of had to change my expectations too. Because I think the person I was in the book, this was several years ago now, 7, 8 years ago, I think I had these expectations for my son, you know, sort of hoops he needed to jump through, you know, to be successful. And I think I've had to alter my expectations and realize that he has to live his own life. He has to find his own way, his own path, independent of me, and he has to, you know, choose his way. I completely support that.
What does he think about the book?
Well, he knows that I write, and I, you know, I've told him I was writing such and such article, or, you know, about something about mental illness, and he knows that I belong to a family support group, and so he knows about that. He knows about the book, and he just said, you know, he was fine as long as I changed all the names. And I said, and then he said, well, that's fine, Mom. You know, it's good that you wrote a book. That's what he said. He's very low key about it.
Do you think he will read it?
I wonder. I've often thought about that. Well, what if my son reads this, you know, in years to come? What will he think? Because I don't think he will right away, but he might. Who knows? He might surprise me. But if he reads it later, I've often thought, well, what would he think? And in fact, one chapter I included specifically because I thought, well, if I don't put this chapter in, he will just pitch the book and say, well, you left out one of the most important chapters, Mom. You know? So I definitely had to deal with it. So I did have this sense of future readers when I was writing it, and that did make a difference in some of my choices.
What is he going to learn about you when he does read the book?
Oh, wow.
That he does not know now?
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, he'll probably realize that I worry a lot, or worried a lot. I hope he'll be impressed by how I try to understand him, because we're so different, and we see each other as being very different from each other, and just completely different in a lot of ways. So maybe he'll be impressed that I try to represent him as fully as I could. He may see me as judgmental, and so I hope that he will realize that if I was, that I've changed and that I've really tried to understand things from his perspective, because I knew that that was an important aspect of this, was to present his side of things too, like what was going on for him. Because I knew what was going on for me during those years, but what was going on for him? I think, you know, that has to be there. Both parts have to be there in order to tell the whole story. And I hope it would be healing for him. You know, I hope if he reads it, he will feel understood also by me, and will feel, gosh, you know, both my parents and I have come through a lot of struggles, and, you know, we both had to recover. You know, we're both, all of us are in recovery, not just myself.
And there are people listening right now, parents who have children going through the exact same issues that you and your son have had to go through. What do you want them to know?
Well, first and foremost, that they can get through it. It will be hard, though, and they need to listen to each other. It's very important, I think, for parents to listen to their kids, because we always want to teach them lessons, teach them what to do, and we have expectations for them, and we put all this stuff on them. But I think a lot of times it's important to just listen to your kids, because they're going through a lot of things, and they need their parents, even though they're rejecting them with one hand, pushing them away with one hand, they're actually hoping that their parents will listen to them and understand what they're going through. And if they do need special help, to look for it, to not just say, well, this too shall pass, but to also to treat it, with attention, and to maybe seek out counseling, and to see, what ideas does their son or daughter have for how things need to change, or what would make things better. I think that's important, to have those conversations, and just don't feel like if you're a parent that you have to come up with the solutions right away. It's okay if you're a parent to just not know, and say, well, let's just keep working on this. Let's keep talking, and we'll figure something out. But it's gonna maybe take a while. Too often parents think they have to have all the answers and they have to know everything, and we can't. It's impossible.
Janice, thank you so much for speaking with me today about your journey and your book.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for having Dr. Bordieri on and so forth. I think those are really good ways to open up the conversation, too, to have better mental health.